Name 158. Urjita means strong, very strong. Just like yesterday we were discussing prangshu, tall. How tall? How tall? How tall? How tall do you think a tall person is? 7 feet, 8 feet, 9 feet, 10 feet, 10 miles? 10 million miles? It goes beyond our imagination. We can't even begin to imagine. We can't imagine someone a mile high. You can't imagine someone 100 miles high. So how strong? Okay, general knowledge test again. What's the world's record in weightlifting? None of you know. 90% of your life is wasted, not knowing all this essential information. 50 kg? 350, yeah, I think 50 is not good. 350 kg, someone can lift 350. Whew. It's pretty strong. Must eat a lot of peanuts. Or is it spinach? Popeye eats spinach, right? Yeah. How heavy is Govardhan? Krishna lifted Govardhan just when he was practicing as a kid. Weight training as a kid. Planets. Krishna holds up all the planets. Srila Prabhupada commented about the figure of Atlas, which is depicted as a Greek god. I believe it's a Greek god. Anyone? Greek or Roman? Greek. I believe it's Greek. Who's holding the earth on his shoulder, on his back, just at the, like this. But he's pressed down with the weight. Whereas the description of Ananta Shesha is that he holds the whole universe on his hood, but he doesn't even notice it, just like a mustard seed. If you happen to have a mustard seed in your hair, you wouldn't notice it, because it's so light and insignificant. Maybe you'd notice it just as a kind of irritation, but not, you wouldn't be suffering under the weight of carrying it. So how strong is Krishna? We can't begin to understand. The frog in the well can't understand how big the ocean is. So in the same way, we cannot understand how strong Krishna is. Not that he has muscles and sinews in the same way that we do. Or not that he has to go to for weight training. But rather, parasya shaktya vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. He has unlimited energies which are known or heard of in different ways, such as his knowledge potency, his strength potency. So he has his energies, one of them is strength, which are non-different from him. But by his energies, he's holding everything up, everything in place. Of course, when we say strength, here we're talking about bodily strength. There are different kinds of strength also. There's mental strength, moral strength, political power. So he has all kinds of, whatever way you can think of strength, he has it. This is, of course, the basic definition of God. If we think of God, if anyone thinks of God, what's the first thing they think of? If you want to describe God, if we just go on the street and ask, well, what do you think about God? What do you mean by God? All-powerful. That's the basic understanding, isn't it? All-powerful. Allahu Akbar, we've heard, means Allah is all powerful. Sarva Shaktiman, full of. Yeah, Sarva Shaktiman means all powerful, but it means more also, because it means he's full of all energies, all potencies. So, that's the basic understanding. He's strong. His strength is manifested in creating and holding in place innumerable universes, in defeating demons. He looks like a delicate young boy. Or even when he gets older, he still looks very delicate, because actually his form is very delicate, soft. The gopis, they're distressed at the thought of Krishna going in the pasturing grounds with no shoes on, because they think that the stones and pebbles and twigs will hurt his feet. But that same Krishna, who looks like a delicate little boy, he's killing nasty demons, very powerful demons. So this demonstrates his strength. And also his strength is exhibited in doing whatever he likes. He can do whatever he likes. There's no one to stop him. So in all these, just like the gopis, they threaten to Krishna that we'll complain about you to Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna says, oh, what can he do? He's an old man. He can't stop me. So no one can stop Krishna. He's whatever he wants to do, he can do. So in these ways, he's all powerful. The basic definition of God is that he's all powerful. Another important understanding of God is that he's all good. And this creates a problem for people who never read Prabhupada's books, or who are believers in God but devoid of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. And thus they are constrained simply to believe in God, because they can't understand him at all. They just have to believe blindly. Some religious systems, blind faith is considered to be the essence of their religion. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, we want to understand him more and more and more and more. They say there's no name of God, or the name of God is too sacred, you shouldn't pronounce it. They have various theories. But we in Krishna consciousness are fortunate enough to know so much more. We're supposed to, and in such religious systems, there's no question of love of God, because you can't love someone you don't know. And then they even relegate him to being a non-person. So it's a big mess. Anyway, what it's going to talk about is that the problem of evil in the Abrahamic religions. If God is all-powerful, that means he can do what he likes. Then how is there suffering in the world? Why doesn't God prevent it? So they're stumped on this silly question, because they have no knowledge that we are here because of our own faults, our own mistakes. Purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktvidvehiturucchate. We are the enjoyers and sufferers of our own activities. That's why we suffer or enjoy in this material world. So, this name is also relevant. We're discussing about Vamanadev. So, Vamanadev, he was attacked by Bali's army, but he easily scattered them. The same army that Indra ran away from, Vamana very easily defeated. So all powerful, even though he doesn't always show his strength. He's so kind to the devotees, he moves among the devotees as if one of them, but he's all powerful. The next name, 159, Atindra, which means, Ati means excessively, or beyond, or above. So, he is above Indra, superior to Indra. This name is similar to Upendra, the second meaning given for Upendra, which means above Indra. He's more than Indra. So, whatever qualities Indra is praised for being powerful, for protecting the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, for being beautiful, virile, all these qualities, whatever qualities Indra is praised for, Vishnu has unlimitedly more. And whatever qualities Indra has are only because they are, those qualities are imbued in him temporarily by Krishna, because they're material qualities. Whereas Krishna has them in whatever qualities Indra has, Krishna has them in pure spiritual existence. Indra, he is known to be a womanizer. Krishna is also a womanizer, but much more so than Indra. But Krishna does so very morally also, even in moral character, Krishna is above, because he marries all the women that he takes. Krishna doesn't take off other people's wives, doesn't take off with other people's wives or any such thing. So, Krishna has more women than even than Indra, and he's very morally married to all. You may say, well, what about the gopis? Well, they're also said to be married by Krishna. There's a whole, and so many stories, how actually they become the queens of Dwaraka, and so many things. Mysterious. Indra, although he's very great, he had to depend on his kid brother to save him after he was kicked out of heaven. His kid brother is Vamana. So, although the young brother seems to be less than the elder brother, Indra, his greatness, his power, his majesty was all restored by Vamana. But his power and majesty, all this, his might, his fame, although it may have appeared to be very great, but it was made clear by Vamana that Indra is actually completely dependent on him, Vishnu. Now, Indra means also king, so Krishna is the greatest, by far the greatest king, or we can say Krishna is beyond any mundane king. In Vedanta, Indra is understood to stand for the mind, so that's also an important understanding, that Krishna is beyond the mind. If we try to understand Krishna only through the mind, we cannot be successful through the mind and intellect. So Krishna is beyond mere mental processes of trying to understand him, of any process to understand him other than bhakti. Avang manasa gochara. He is not understandable by words, or simply intellectualization, ratiocination. we cannot understand Krishna. So these are various meanings of the names. Otindra. Then the name 160. Sangraha. Sangraha. Sam means complete, and graha means to accept or to grasp or to draw in. Sangraha usually is used as a noun to mean a collection. A collection means various objects have all been put in one place. So this name has been given two main meanings. One is that he is easily reached, that one can easily go to. That's a different etymological derivation. And he who has everyone under his control. One who has got everyone under his control, just like the word graha, which means, this is sometimes translated as planet, but it's not, the planet is not entirely correct. It means astronomical body that grabs us. That means we may be under the influence. That means, astrologically speaking, we may be under the influence of such and such a planet. So that becomes very powerfully influences us. Prahlad Maharaj is described as Krishna Graha, as if haunted by Krishna. Krishna has captured him. So, Krishna does that. He captures the mind, just like someone may be overcome by some influence and their whole consciousness is taken over by that. Just like someone can be captured by lust and then they lose their intelligence altogether, as described in Bhagavad Gita. So, if we're captured by Krishna, we lose our intelligence altogether. Our mundane intelligence of how to plan how to be happy in this world. And then that's why people say, don't join that Hare Krishna movement. You see, you'll lose. If you go there, they'll brainwash you and you'll lose all your intelligence. You know, brainwash means you lost all your intelligence. So yes, you lost all your mundane intelligence, how to enjoy this world. Instead, one uses one's intelligence how to serve Krishna. So Sangraha means holding together, drawing together, making a collection. So all the ingredients of the universe in subtle form, they come from Krishna. And in one sense, they're not different from Krishna. So Krishna, in this way, gathers, he has gathered within him all the ingredients of the creation. Everything is him, all collectively put together. He holds everything together. Srila Prabhupada, he discounted this theory of gravity. The theory of gravity has become a problem in modern physics, astrophysics, because there doesn't seem to be enough gravity. There's not enough mass in the universe to hold everything together. So they've invented antimatter. And they say that most of the mass in the universe is invisible. How do you know it's there then? Because it's required to hold everything together gravitationally. It's an imaginary. So the real force holding it together is Krishna by his energies. Now they discovered what they call the God particle, Higgs boson, which is supposed to hold everything together. But then they'll find some problem in that theory also, and This is so-called science. They go on discovering, and they think, yeah, now we got it all worked out. And then someone thinks a little bit more, and they say, well, wait a minute, that theory doesn't quite fit. And they go, oh, no. First of all, they deny it. They say, no, he's just a fool. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And they say, well, actually, he's right. Then they're stuck. What to do? And then some other genius comes up and solves the problem with a new theory. Oh, brilliant theory. Then someone finds a problem in that. This is called science. So forget the God particle. Just understand there's God. That's all. God's not a particle. Well, in one sense he is, but not in the way that you think he is, you rascal. So it's, how is everything held? By him. Everything is held together by his immense strength. Someone who has immense strength, they don't appear to be strong. Like Atlas, he looks very strong. He's holding up the earth with great effort. But if someone effortlessly holds something up, and they're not straining, then you may think, well, the object is not very heavy. But that's actual strength, is that you don't feel challenged by lifting up a weight. Just like you're saying, the world heavyweight champion can lift 350 kilos. So, but when he does, he or she, probably a he, equal rights, doesn't always work. So, with great effort and strain and practice and eating lots of meat probably and maybe secretly injecting some steroids, he's able to lift such a massive weight. But Krishna lifts the whole universe with no effort whatsoever. So he gathers up everything into him at the time of the destruction of the universe. That's another meaning. He holds everything together during the time of the creation. Another thing is that he comes into this world to, when he comes, he brings all the devotees. Everyone, all the devotees are attracted to him, so he brings them all together. Just like Lord Chaitanya in his pastime, so many devotees would come with him. So he brings everyone together, harmonizes them all. Another meaning, one who is easily reached. He's reached by his devotees without any other effort. How to go to Krishna? Well, you walk down the road, get on a bus, then you go to the train station, take a train, and then you this way, that way, all directions, how to go. No such thing required. Wherever we are, if we simply worship him with pure devotion and surrender to him, then he is willing to accept that person. So he's easily reached, not by difficult processes. There are various difficult processes which are meant for spiritual realization, but they distract one from the real goal of life, which is bhakti. So bhakti is not enhanced by performing difficult processes, but rather because bhakti is easy and natural. So if we simply hear and chant about Krishna, worship Krishna, then Krishna makes himself available to us. And if we think that now I have to lie on a bed of nails and or stand on my toes for 7,000 years, of course to stand on your toes even for 7 minutes is hardly possible. And if you try it, it would be extremely painful. I'm not recommending that you do try it. It seems like a simple thing, but to maintain that situation, it becomes very painful. So there's no need for any such thing. Simply by this simple process of offering Krishna leaf, flower, fruit or water, chanting his holy names, Krishna becomes very pleased with us and accepts us into his entourage. He completely accepts those who surrender unto him. So these are some meanings of the name. Sangraha. All right, so another short one. Any question about this?
Krishna also empowers people as
Shakti
avatars.
Krishna also empowers people as Shakti avesha avatars, yeah. Prabhupada said that Hitler was Shaktyavesh avatar of instruction, according to one devotee. Well, what devotees say is often not exactly correct. According to psychologists, there's the phenomenon of confabulation, in which you don't remember something clearly and you fill it up. You fill in the gaps with some imagination and you presume it to be true. Now, Srila Prabhupada did say that Hitler was empowered by Krishna. That doesn't mean that he's a Shaktyavesh avatar. Avatar means one who comes down from the spiritual world. It appears that Hitler, if he came from anywhere, came up from hell. So he's empowered, no doubt. Everyone is empowered. We're all empowered to sit on the floor here. You may think, well, that doesn't require much power. It requires some power. If Krishna pulled the plug out on our power, we'd just collapse on the floor. We couldn't. You need some strength even to hold your body up. Right? And we find that many devotees have great difficulty to keep their eyes, or even to keep their eyelids up, especially during class. It's a great cure for insomnia. We can tell all the people in Dallas who are suffering from insomnia, they can come to the Bhagavatam class. So that Prabhupada said that he's empowered. Yeah, you are the Rudra principle has entered him, more like empowered by Rudra, Shiva, for destruction. Of course, that's also indirectly coming from Krishna. In my opinion, Hitler's overrated. We talk about him too much. I also talk about him. He killed so many people, but, well, Texas is famous for cowboys, right? And the cows here, they don't protect. Is still Texas got many cows still? It's a cow area. So the Holocaust is going on daily, killing so many cows. But no one cares because they think it's okay. Just like in Hitler's Germany, they thought it was okay to kill Jews and gypsies and homosexuals and whoever else they didn't like. So in the same way, nowadays we think it's okay to kill cows and chickens and other living beings and babies in the womb. So these demons, they're also empowered by Maya to make such a nasty situation. Came in the news that the American ambassador to Libya was assassinated. News. One American is killed, and so much. Of course, he's highly placed. But what about all the mothers that you're killing daily? They seem to think that's all right. Everything's uh-huh. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, they don't even think it's okay. It's just the question doesn't even come in people's mind whether it's okay or not. So distribute those books. Let them know what is right and what is wrong.
That's only one thing that's wrong with human society. There's so many things wrong. Anything else? Yes, please. Oh, excuse me. So is that point clear? That you remember that in one of the memories of one of Prabhupada's disciples that he'd said that Prabhupada had said that Hitler was a Kshatriya Vaishyavatar. He might have said that. I'm not saying he didn't say that, but unless we have evidence of that, I would tend to think that the statement that Prabhupada said that Hitler is also empowered was misinterpreted to mean that that Hitler was an empowered, like a Shakti Vaishyavatar who comes to this world to do good for it. Just hearing that word empowered, which Prabhupada usually uses that with the word incarnation. So in this way, the confusion may have arisen. Yes, please. Yeah. Oh, I heard that a little differently. That Srila Prabhupada was asked, I'm not sure if he was at a university, but Srila Prabhupada was asked, can Krishna create an object so heavy that he can't lift it? Trick question. And Prabhupada said, yes, but then he'll lift it. So, and all this kind of thing is being analyzed, even by Western philosophers. The question, can God make a square circle? Well, Jiva Goswami has analyzed this kind of thing. And not only Jiva Goswami, before that, the Indian school of Nyaya, logic, that there's no meaning to such a question is meaningless, because by definition, a circle doesn't have any angles, and a square, by definition, has four angles. So, it's a meaningless question. Just like rabbit's horns or flowers growing in the sky or rabbit's eggs or pineapple trees. There's no such thing. So it's meaningless. How many pineapple trees do you have? Have you ever seen a pineapple growing? No. Someone told me this years ago. I was in Udupi and someone presented us with a pineapple. So I said, well, where did that come from? I didn't expect to see in Udupi. And he said, oh, the man next door gave it from his own tree. I said, really? That's interesting. Because pineapple, they don't grow on trees. Having lived in Bangladesh for some years, I've seen so many pineapples growing. There's a plant which grows something a little like an aloe plant, it looks, and then one pineapple comes from there. So it's meaningless to say, how many pineapple trees do you have? How many eggs does a rabbit lay at one time? So you can have a big discussion about it, but it's all meaningless. And that answer that Prabhupada gave, that can God, what is that? Make an object more heavy than he can lift. Yes, and then he'll lift it. What is the meaning of Prabhupada's answer? It points to the inconceivability of Bhagavan, that we can say, yeah, can he make an object? Yeah, Govardhan is obviously too heavy for Krishna to lift because he's just a little boy. And sometimes, just like Nanda Maharaj asks Krishna, a little baby Krishna, to bring his shoes to him. Nanda Maharaj's shoes, his padukas, that wooden shoes. And Krishna lifts them up and great difficulty puts them on his head because he's only a little boy. And brings them. So if he has great difficulty lifting the shoes of Nanda Maharaj when he's little younger, then how is he going to lift a whole mountain? They're inconceivable. The same Krishna who's killed so many demons, when Mother Yashoda threatens to punish him, he becomes so afraid. Inconceivable. He's actually afraid. He runs away in fear. We sing that during Kartik month. What is that? Udantam moho netra yugmam rajantam karambhoja yugmam satam. Now, is that the right verse? Mahushvasakam pachire kanka, yeah. He's crying and his body is trembling in fear. No, what is that? Rudantam gopya. What is that? No, Rudantam moho netra yugmam rajantam karambhoja. No, there's another verse also in which he runs in fear from. It's that one says that he's crying. But there's another one says that Gopya Druta Uchai Yashoda Bhiyolu Kaladhavama. Yeah, he's running away from Yashoda in fear. So he's afraid. He's not afraid of big demons, but he's afraid of Yashoda. That also Kunti says. She's bewildered how Krishna is afraid of Yashoda. What's that? I can't remember that verse either. Virambaram, Srila Prabhupada says this. His bewildering pastimes. If I had a better memory, I could remember. Maybe Krishna will empower me at some point. You can all learn. Young devotee, you learn all these shlokas. It's a great treasure if you can remember them. Yeah, so anything else? No, all right. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.